Hey y'all, welcome back to the Empowering the Future of Agriculture podcast with me, Carson Osteen. Today, I'm joined by the 2024-2025 East Tennessee Regional President, Weston Brown. Weston, if you'd like to introduce yourself, go ahead.
Hello, everybody. It's great to be on here with Carson. This is my first time being on a podcast for the full duration, so I'm excited to be here, and thank you for having me.
Of course. So I always start out with this question, and it's always a exciting part when I can hear more about everybody's FFA journey. Would you want to share a little bit about what your FFA journey has looked like over the years?
Yes. So coming into high school, you know, I came from a strong agriculture background. I'm the fifth generation to live and work on my family's diversified agriculture production operation, if you will, where we raise around 250 head of Angus-influenced beef cattle, and we put up around 350 acres of hay each year. And, you know, it's agriculture was no secret to me, I guess you could say. But entering AgriScience my freshman year, you know, my eyes were open to everything that agriculture encompasses. You know, it goes further than just what I knew how to do, you know, mow hay, give a cow a vaccine. It goes further into that. There's a whole lot more to the industry than just that. So I would have to say that my FFA journey started getting involved, going on different trips. I never did get to compete in the creed speaking or conduct of chapter meeting there, which are two of the freshman or green hand member LDEs. But I just kept on getting involved, competing in different competitions, such as extemporaneous speaking. What else did I do? Dairy evaluation, livestock evaluation, soil judging. All of these, and I think all of these experiences is what truly developed my love for our organization. And then I remember attending my first state FFA convention. My advisor had pushed me into doing state talent. And just a side note here, I try my best to play guitar and piano and different instruments like that and sing a little bit. We always say carry a tune in a bucket, but my bucket's just halfway full. I guess that was one of the biggest things. So coming over to Gatlinburg my first time, and preparing to do an old bluegrass song, I was really nervous until I encountered the state officers at the time, who I'd never met, and they encouraged me to do everything that I could to get involved, and that started with the state talent that led to all of those different conversations that I mentioned, or different competitions that I mentioned. So I guess I would have to say, get involved as much as you can if you're hesitant to. Because there truly is a community and a family within our organization, and I think my FFA journey was impacted, and what made it stronger was becoming involved by those around me pushing me and understanding the true community behind it.
Yeah, definitely. I know everything that you just said is like something that I know somebody's going to end up hearing and be like, wow, that's like a story to say the least.
It truly is.
Yeah, never would I guess I'd have a full-on, I don't even know how to describe it. What would you call yourself, like, with, like, the singing and everything? Because didn't you do some, like, Elvis songs last year?
Well, I did. I did, Carson. I appreciate you bringing that up. So I always go around different parts of the community, and a lot of times different churches in Greene County and the surrounding areas over here in East Tennessee. And I sing and I play those different songs. But I always mention in my intro, whether that's a regional office interview, a state office interview, I always talk about my strong love for Elvis Presley, the king of rock and roll as we know him. So I remember standing in my grandmother's living room when I was, I don't even know if I could speak then, and she would play videos of Elvis on her TV. And I would stand there and mimic every move that Elvis would make. This is one of the things that inspired me to start taking guitar lessons and learning how to play different songs. And I've dressed up as Elvis and went to different places here in the community and shook a leg or two, I guess you could say. played some songs. But I would have to just say that I'm regular old gig master here in Greene County. Nothing big, but I try my best to just bring a smile to somebody's face when I sing and play music.
Definitely, I'm gonna have to get a signature like sometime soon before you
well,
like blow
you know,
up.
Well, I will, and you'll probably be successful if you sell that on eBay.
Yeah. So shifting back a little bit towards more stuff in FFA. I know you named a bunch of stuff that you've done over your years in FFA. Could you pinpoint maybe a few of your favorite things that you've been a part of?
Absolutely. Well, like I mentioned, I didn't get that full freshman experience in FFA because I was a little bit of a late starter, to be honest with you, not becoming involved in any competitions until my sophomore and junior year. But I would have to say that my favorite competition or piece of involvement that I've been in here in FFA would have to be dairy evaluation. Like I mentioned, I come from a beef cattle farm, so I was pretty familiar with the beef industry, what to look at in a beef cow, but I wasn't as familiar as with the dairy industry, what to look at in a dairy cow, how to evaluate them to ensure that they're going to be as yield productive as they can be. So just learning more about different parts of the industry, learning about the diversity here in Tennessee agriculture, and opening my eyes more to everything that we have to offer within FFA would probably be something that I would pinpoint as my favorite.
Yeah, and your resume within FFA is pretty packed as well. And one thing that is, I guess, encompassing on that is you serving as the East Tennessee Regional President currently. Would you want to walk us through the process that you went through to become a East Tennessee Regional Officer? Because I know it's a lot more beefed up than it is over here in West and Middle Tennessee.
Well, I guess you could say beefed up is the word, Carson. But, you know, a lot of what we do here in East Tennessee to become a regional officer mirrors the state officer selection process. And what that encompasses is a letter writing prompt where we have to write a whole letter, you know, as we would if we were running for state office. We do take a knowledge exam. We also have a personal and ag issues interview combined that's made into one interview. So that differentiates us a little bit from the state officer selection process. But we also go through a group interview. So, for me, honestly, I was appreciative of going through those experiences because I knew that I was going to run for state office too, and that'll be coming up here at the next state convention in Gatlinburg. But allowing me to have that experience to run for regional office and have all of those steps definitely grew me as a candidate, and I really appreciate us doing that.
Yeah, and then you were fortunate enough to hear your name be called to serve your region over the next year or so. And so over, I guess you could say, almost a year now of serving East Tennessee as a regional officer, what has been some of your favorite things about serving your region?
Right. Well, over here in East Tennessee, something that makes us different than, just a side note, we are very different than the rest of the regions. And I think that's in a good way, or for me it is. I might be a little bit biased. But we have this thing called Chapter Presidents Conference. So what that is, you know, all the regions do Green Hand Conference, but we do a thing called Chapter Presidents Conference where we take two members from each chapter. Most of the time it's the president and vice president of the chapter. We bring them to a meeting point. This year it was at my actual high school there at West Greene. And the regional officers facilitate a conference that essentially allows us to really instill leadership qualities into those chapter presidents so they can continue to grow their chapter and grow as a person. So one time when I was doing Chapter Presidents Conference there back, I want to say it was in September, I had the opportunity to come in contact with a certain member. I won't say their name, but I noticed a desire among this member, and he really just wanted to know that he had a place, to know that he was cared for, and for me, I saw this as an opportunity. I saw it as an opportunity to really hit home that, you know, no matter what, everybody has a place within FFA, and I really tried to make him understand that everybody has a place, regardless of your background, what you enjoy doing, your future plans. We all have a place. We're all cared for within our organization, and I made sure to hit home that if he ever needed anything, the regional officers would be there for him. So just coming in contact with these members and trying my best to make an impact on their life is something that I've really enjoyed over the past year. And hopefully, although I do have just a few more months left, I still want to make a difference in some members' lives, because I know that I wouldn't be placed in this position without a purpose. And I believe my purpose is to truly go and try my best to make an impact on somebody's life.
Yeah, and that's definitely one thing that I can attest to. Regional office, state officers, all those higher-up officers have left a profound impact on not only me, but all kinds of people from across the state, country, and just the NFFA as a whole. And I know, like you mentioned, you do have a few months left of serving as a regional officer over in East Tennessee. Would you want to share maybe one thing that you're looking forward to most with the next few months of continuing to serve East Tennessee?
Right. Well, you know, we have various competitions here in East Tennessee. In fact, tomorrow, it won't be tomorrow when the listeners get a hold of this podcast, but tomorrow as we are filming it, we're actually hosting our Ag Sales and Communications here in East Tennessee. And it's always a privilege for me to go and help out Miss Stina Meadows, the regional coordinator here in East Tennessee, host these events and talk to members. Like I mentioned a little bit earlier in the podcast, I've been involved in different competitions all over our organization. So, and I know the nerves that comes with those competitions. So being there, talking to the members, trying to ease their nerves, let them understand that anytime they compete in something, they're growing as a leader. So I would have to say that the things that I'm most looking forward to is coming in contact with more members. You know, we've hit a record level of membership, not only in our state and nation, but also in East Tennessee, where we've hit around 10,000 FFA members in the region. And for me, that is truly groundbreaking. These are 10,000 FFA members that I have the opportunity to serve. So something that I would definitely have to look forward to, and something that I have I've strived or tried my best to do over these past few months, is to simply just to continue to make that impact, create that relationship, and ensure that they know that they're cared about and thought of here out here in East Tennessee.
Yeah, and it's going to be really exciting to continue to watch not only y'all's team, but all the other regional officer teams continue to strive out these last few months and then usher in the next group. So About a month from now, we'll all be down in Gatlinburg at the 97th Tennessee FFA State Convention. What are a few things that you're in particularly looking forward to with this upcoming state convention?
Right. Well, I mentioned talent. Talent is something that I've done all 3 years that I've attended state convention there in Gatlinburg, and it's something I'm actually going to do again this year. And the funny part about it is this year that I have no idea what song I'm going to do, and it's not narrowed down just yet. So, please, if anybody has any recommendations, let me know. But aside from that, I will be running for state office this year. We mentioned there how the regional officer process here in East Tennessee mirrors that state officer process. So I will be doing that, and it is a stressful process, Carson. It really is, and I understand you're running for regional office this year, and I know that's a stressful process as well, but something that I've been telling myself is if it's meant to be, it'll be, and if it's not, it won't be. Either way, we're growing as a leader, and we're making a difference on those who are around. So the biggest thing that I'm looking forward to this state convention is running for state office, and hopefully the odds will be in my favor, and I'll have the opportunity to serve the 33,508 members right here in Tennessee FFA. But if not, I will continue to serve in any other capacity that I have the opportunity to be involved in, and go from there.
Yeah, and this is like a complete side note. I was talking to, I think, Lucy Beth at the MTSU prep course.
Right.
And she was mentioning that you were doing the talent again this year and all kinds of stuff. And I can't remember if I said it or she said something. And she was like, well, we should, like, get all the regional presidents together and, like, throw T. Wayne up there. Get them to, like, you know, do something. That's, like, probably, like, a complete sidebar that But yeah, she mentioned that, and I was like, that'd be pretty fun to watch. So,
you know, that would be awesome, because I know T-Wayne, he's done the Creed rap battle for quite some time. Isaac Jones, Regional Sentinel here in East Tennessee, he's done the Creed rap battle against T-Wayne, actually, before. But I think that would be awesome. You know, maybe I dress up as Elvis. T-Wayne, I don't know who he would be. He might be Johnny Cash, Lucy Beth, Dolly Parton, Kason there in Middle Tennessee. I don't know who he could be. Maybe Carl Perkins. But I believe that would be a show-stopping act, Carson.
I'll be front row, camera out, ready for it. But, yeah, you're mentioning all these things that you're going to be going through at State Convention, and it's truly exciting. Like, I know the mentality that you had just mentioned, like, if it's meant to be, then it'll be. That's been, like, one thing that I've pretty much shifted complete, like, trajectories towards, because one thing in particular is extemporaneous speaking, and I know we'll be competing against each other at State for that.
Right.
But that night, like, that was one thing. I went and gave my first speech for, like, the first round in West Tennessee, and I felt like I bombed it. And I was truly just like, whatever happens, happens. It is what it is. But, you know, it kind of eases my nerves a lot when I think that way.
You know, funny story about that, Carson, and I hate to take up more time than I'm allotted, but last year was my first year competing in extemporaneous public speaking, and I went in, I knew my topic very well, I gave my speech, I walked out, and I'm like, dude, you just won this thing, okay? So I got in there, sat down, I even got a snack because I was so comfortable with my speech performance that I was just hanging out, you know what I mean? So I was sitting there, and they called out the results, and lo and behold, I was in last place. I didn't even place. And that really got me down. So I went up and asked the judges, you know, what's going on? Because I know that was a groundbreaking speech right there. But he told me that I had went 7 minutes and 14 seconds.
Oh, wow.
And if you're not familiar with extemp speaking, 1 second over is a point docked. So that's 74 points that I got docked right there. So the overall mission of what I'm trying to say here is, just because something doesn't go your way 1 year does not mean that you should stop doing it the next. You know, this year, like Carson mentioned, I had the opportunity to go and compete at State, which is something that I wouldn't have saw from myself last year. So the moral of the story is, just don't ever give up on different things, because who knows, you may be successful at a different time and it just wasn't your year that year.
I can for sure attest to that, and like, I have a very funny story to go along with extemp as well. It always boils down to speaking for me when it comes to like the having the overarching like confidence about it and think that I just completely did the best speech I've ever done in my life, and then, you know,
right,
completely failing it. But last year was my first year actually trying to compete at it, and I got COVID 2 days before the competition, so I was just completely wiped out, so I didn't get to do it. And I guess that put more of a drive in me this year to go and actually do better at it, and it's gonna be exciting. So yeah, so,
well, I wish you the best of luck, dude, and you know, just like I mentioned, it'll be what it'll be, right?
Definitely. The worst it can be is six in the state. So that's
right. That's right.
So shifting focuses a little bit, this past summer, you attended the Washington Leadership Conference. Like, I know,
yes,
y'all kind of launched a whole political campaign, did a whole bunch of different stuff. Would you want to walk through that week of being at that conference?
Yes. Launched a whole political campaign. You know, being able to go to our nation's capital and see the government at work firsthand, it was truly an opportunity of a lifetime. You know, you did mention a funny story there when Isaac Jones and myself did release our 2048 political campaign, where he was supposed to run for president and I was supposed to run for vice president. We've seen a little backfire there in West Tennessee from Jeff Jackson and Abby Woodward, because they also released a political campaign that we were unaware of. So this is my speech to FFA members: vote for East Tennessee, because, you know, we're here for you. So talking more about the leadership conference itself, it's about a week-long conference, and you get to go to our nation's capital and stay at this big, nice hotel that has really good food, I must say. And you get put with three other people from around the nation in your hotel room. So for me, that was a friend of mine, now a friend of mine, Bob. He was from New Mexico. Jacob, he was from Wisconsin. And Jason, and he was from California. So getting to have those relationships, and I still talk to these guys on a daily basis on almost there, Carson. So attending this conference is absolutely a great thing. And, you know, there at the last night of the conference, you get to write yourself a letter that will be sent to you in 6 months. So I wrote myself a letter highlighting everything that I would, that I thought that I would be doing now, and it came in the mail the other day, and it was truly just, it was good to open that piece of mail and read it, because it brought me back to that conference. It reminded me and refreshed my memory on all of the leadership skills that they instilled in me up there, and overall, it was a great conference. We got to go on the night tour, they call it, that one night, and we went over and seen all the monuments. So being able to do that and go on a tour in the Capitol, meet with legislatures, and truly understand the vitalness of American agriculture up there was a great experience. And I would encourage any FFA member that I come in contact with to try their best to attend that conference, because it's something that you won't want to miss.
I'm like literally counting down the days right now. July 7th, couldn't get here quick enough.
So you've got it pinpointed.
Yeah, I'm ready to go. DC's been like a bucket list place for who knows how many years for me, and then, you know, getting to go with FFA is going to be even a bigger plus, like big old win-win situation. So that'll be really exciting to attend. So this past summer you were able to attend Rope, so you were able to I guess, be with your regional officer team for about, I think, a weekend or so over at Camp Clements and plan stuff for y'all's year of service. Would you want to share about attending that experience?
Right. So ROPE, or Regional Officer Preparatory Experience, is where all of the regional officers from the state meet there in Camp Clements. And we have a two-day-long training, if you will, from our state officers at the time. So the main thing that we look at over at ROPE is how to facilitate, how to keep our members engaged during a conference, during a workshop, and how to truly drive home whatever whatever your main point is. So we learned how to facilitate, and then the next day we really learned what we were going to facilitate. A lot of times we have set things that we have to talk about at Green Hand Conference, and that was really what we were supposed to be looking at there at Rope. So we planned our Green Hand Conference for the freshmen here in East Tennessee. We brought that back, and with the state officer's help, Green Hand Conference was a real success. So, and of course, Rope goes farther than just learning how to facilitate what our conference is going to be about. It's making those relationships with the regional officers from across the state and the state officers, really. You know, I didn't realize how cool of a guy Kaysen Austin was until we got to bond there at Rope. And of course, all of the other male regional officers from across the state, when we would be sitting in the cabin telling different stories about our FFA experience and about life, really. And so it's just a good bonding experience. We get to play a few games at Rope, and it's just a good time. Carson, I really do hope that you have that opportunity this year to attend Rope as a regional officer for West Tennessee and experience all the fun and the skills that you get from attending that.
Yeah, fingers are like really, really crossed right now for that.
Right.
So I heard something from Lucy Beth that like the regional presidents got kidnapped. Was that like true?
That was true. So it's Friday and Saturday night usually. What we do is we go down Friday. We have workshops all day from the state officers, and that night we play a big game. A lot of times it's hide and seek with your region or your team if you're a state officer. And, of course, there's a certain amount of people that come and they find you. However, this part of the game is where it got a little bit tricky, if you will. So I remember going with East Tennessee FFA, and we were walking through the woods where the rope course is there at camp. And I got stolen by a state officer, and I thought I was in trouble or something. But they told me that we were hiding the regional presidents from their fellow regional officers, and it was their responsibility to look and find us. So we got put in the basement of the old house there at camp, and it took a very long time for them to find us. I almost thought that my region didn't realize I was gone for the longest time, which was kind of questionable, if you will. It's kind of questionable, but it was just overall a good experience, Carson.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely would attest to you, like, thinking, because I heard the story. It may have been from Abby or one of the other ones. They had mentioned that, yeah, like they stole Lucy Beth and we had to go find her. And now that you said y'all were walking through the woods, and wasn't it like raining and dark or something? And
It was very dark. I can remember that.
but
But there was also a water gun fight.
oh.
After they found the regional presidents, there was a water gun fight, and my water gun was out of water, like all guns get, when you've been spraying. So no big deal. Well, Paige, the state reporter, came up to me. She's like, "Hey, I'll fill up your water gun for you." I'm like, "Okay." She has a huge bucket of water that she pours all over me. None of it goes into the gun, and there I am, soaking wet in front of everybody there at rope. So I tell you that to say this, be careful who your friends are at rope.
Oh boy, oh boy. But yeah, it definitely sounds like that was a very eventful, fun,
It was. It
and
really was.
yeah, hope the odds are in my favor for that stuff. But yeah,
Well, it sure will be, Carson.
so I have a few more questions that I like to ask, like towards the end of an episode, just because somebody's more prone to hear or remember something that they heard recently than, so. I wanted to ask this one more in particular. I know we've touched on a few things that you've got coming up throughout the rest of this year in FFA, but what is one thing that you're looking forward to, like in particular, like most with the rest of this year?
Right. Well, I don't, I, are you talking about the school year or just this year in particular?
Either or
Because
it.
my time in FFA is unfortunately coming to an end as a chapter member. I'm hoping to graduate from West Green High School in May, and go into agriculture education. So I would have to say, just making sure that I'm putting all the finishing touches on my school academics and different things there at West Green, but being the best version of me that I can be. A quote that I heard up at National Convention when I had the opportunity to serve as a delegate, which all three of the regional presidents do for our delegation there at National Convention. But Deryn Morgan Anderson, the retired Eastern Region National Vice President, she said in her retiring address, "A good person is a gift to the whole world." That was something that really just hit me when she said that, because I always try to be nice and make an impact. But at the end of the day, if you're not a good person, your impact's not going to go very far. And if you are a good person, you can make that impact. And once you do one good deed to somebody else, it can go further than just you and that other person. So I would definitely have to say, just try my best to be that example, to be that good person, and to be somebody that is looked up upon. And trying to set a good example would have to be something that I would say that I'm looking forward to, and throughout the next year.
I'm so glad that you mentioned serving as a national delegate, because that is like the one thing that I forgot to put on the question sheet. So I guess if we can go a little bit off script here, I did want to ask a question about that. What could you say was like one of your favorite parts about serving as a delegate that week at National Convention?
Well, I would have to say that my favorite part about serving as a delegate would be waking up at 5 a.m. every day and going to bed at about midnight. It's truly a refreshing experience. Not really, but that's just the plus. But serving as a national delegate means that it goes further than just sitting on one of the front rows there at sessions at national convention. But we do committee work, so that is where you're put with state officers and delegates from all across the nation, and we essentially work on policy for national FFA. We have a final business session where we vote on everything that we've came up with during our committee meetings, and that gets sent to the FFA Board of Directors. As we know, they are the one running our national organization, and they decide whether our policies that we've came up with is good enough to put into the Constitution and bylaws. So I would have to say, meeting and interacting with state officers and delegates from all across the nation, learning about the agriculture in their parts of the area, how they've been influenced by our organization, and how they're involved within agriculture would definitely be some of my favorite parts from the delegate experience.
Yeah, it was really exciting to see all of y'all there serving not only Tennessee FFA, but the nation. And right. Like one moment I recollect on is I think the session 1B that whatever day, I think Thursday morning, really, really early. I think that's the day. I'm not sure. It's been a little bit. But I glanced up and I'm like, oh, I know those people who like, sorry, on the big screen. And right. They were, and I was like, yeah, that's the Tennessee folks.
That's us. That's us. We're allowed 14 delegates from Tennessee to represent all of our members here in the state. But like you said, we are essentially representing everybody, all over 1 million national members within our organization. So it's really just an experience of a lifetime, and I really do hope that I can be selected as a state officer this year in March to go and have that experience again.
Yeah, so I always end with this last question because I always like to hear what everybody has to say to maybe an FFA member that's scared to get involved, or some student in high school that may not or middle school now that truly doesn't understand what FFA can do for them. So what is one piece of advice that you would give to either an FFA member or just a student that is hesitant to get involved in FFA?
Right. Well, that's a great question, Carson, because I remember coming in to high school, and throughout my elementary and middle school experiences, I wasn't necessarily the popular kid. I didn't have the most friends, so I was a loner, I guess you could say. That was one way to describe me, a loner. I didn't talk to many people. I didn't feel like my voice needed to be heard. But I remember taking AgriScience the spring semester of my freshman year, and we had a state officer visit from the state officer team at the time, and it was Harrison Falkosfi and Callie Renner. They were there, and they did a workshop, and I remember vividly they had me come up to the front of the classroom and help them explain beef cattle. Of course, I come from a strong lineage of beef cattle farmers, so that was simple for me, but the hardest part was simply just getting up there. And maybe some of our members are like that. Maybe they don't want to get up there. Maybe they don't want to get themselves out there. But it was them pushing me. It was them that saw something in me that I didn't see in myself. So here's what I would have to say to members or any kind of students that's maybe not even in FFA just yet. Get involved. Just do it. I know that's the Nike sign, and we always make fun of each other for saying that, but just do it. Get involved, because, you know, the shy boy that I was all throughout my school experience until I got into high school, and now they can't get me to hush, but it took a push, a push from somebody who's seen something in me that I didn't see in myself. So making sure that we as leaders, especially regional and state officers and upcoming regional officers and state officers, can push those students. You know, a quote that I really like is by Dr. Tim Elmore, the FFA Habitudes book author. It's, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. So making sure that we can care for these students, push them to come involved, and you know, make sure that they understand that they're cared for, no matter what, they have a place. So don't be hesitant to get involved, because we offer a world of opportunity, and I can attest it will truly grow you as a person and help you to understand who you are, while also allowing you to make positive impact on other people as well.
Just do it is like the slogan that I've forced myself to live by for about 3 years now in FFA. It'll truly change your life. So, Weston, it's been a true honor to have you on today. And
well, Carson, you know, I try my best. I always tell people I'm not much, but I'm all they got at that time. If you don't mind, let me ask you a question.
Go ahead.
That's really rebellious, isn't it? That's a question on his podcast. But what has been your favorite part of the regional officer prep experience?
Well, this is my second year going through regional office prep to an extent. My sophomore year, I had the idea to run for regional office. I started prepping in January of like in 2024. And I truly wasn't in it to go and try to get a position at all. So I kind of backed off. I went to one prep course, kind of just went through the experience. And I had just sat through Ella Hastie's retiring address. And a few minutes later, they're electing the next state officer team. And I know you know all too well that session. And just I was seeing so many people that I had known for about a year now. And one person, of course, that always stands out to me is Sarah, the current West Tennessee state vice president. And at that time, she was serving as our regional president. And I was impacted. And I was like, I want to do this one day. And I had had that idea somewhat freshman year, but it had kind of been put in the back of my mind. So on the bus ride back from state convention, I walk up to my advisor on the bus, and don't recommend this going down I-40 about 80 miles an hour on a school bus, but I walk up to her and I'm like, hey, I just registered. I'm running for regional office. And she was like, Carson, did you think about this before you did it? And I'm like, kinda. So I go and run. I don't get a position, which I'm honestly really grateful I did not get one last year, because I don't think I'd have near as much of a drive this year if I did get one. And so around, I guess you could say August of last year, I began prepping again to run this year. And going to prep courses, I think I've been to four now, going across the state, very early mornings, very late afternoons, and just going to go to these prep courses and meet everybody from across the state has been one of the inspiring things about it. And, you know, I'm about 2 months away from running, less than 2 months away from knowing if I'll be a regional officer or not. And it's an exciting experience. And
absolutely,
hopefully I'll come out with a position this year. But if I don't, I do. Like, I've always rooted myself in a title does not make a person. It's the leadership attributes that they bring to the table. And yeah, so I think you should just take my job now, to be honest. Like, I'll just like transfer this podcast over to you now.
if only, right? But I will tell you, regardless of if you get any kind of position, whether you're running for regional office or state office, you grow as a leader. If you're involved in anything that our organization has to offer, you grow as a leader. So making sure that we're all doing it for the right reasons, to make that positive impact on our members, and to, of course, advocate for our agricultural industry, and just doing everything that we can to be a good person is definitely necessary. And Carson, I know that you will do well. I appreciate you having me on. And if there's any way that I can ever be of service to you or to any of our listeners, please don't hesitate to reach out.
Definitely. So thank you again for being on the podcast today. I've greatly enjoyed it. And it was a honestly pretty good episode to have as the 30th one of this podcast. And yes.
I did a lot of rambling on here now, Carson. It was definitely just me and you having a conversation, but I appreciate it anyway.
Of course. So thank y'all for listening to this episode, and I will hopefully see y'all back next week.